Shalom, Saints, and thank you for joining us for our Searching the Scriptures episode. Each Thursday, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet with us here. And so I want you to grab something to write with, grab something to write on, and of course, grab your Bible and prepare yourself for some inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for Searching the Scriptures. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the Accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. I'm ecstatic to announce our Laborers Grant available to all HRU students. Our new Laborers Grant enables us to eliminate the $50 application fee and cover 50% of tuition costs across all degree programs, removing additional financial barriers and making our tuition even more affordable to all students. There are no prerequisites or pre-qualifications required. Simply apply, and the grant would be automatically applied to your account. All students that apply today will be given a Laborers Grant, which will cover 50% off all tuition costs and will be automatically awarded for each term the student is enrolled. You can apply now. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Have Questions section at the bottom of our website. The implementation of our new Laborers Grant will provide access to as many people as possible from all nations worldwide who are desirous of higher education in ministry and becoming laborers in the end-time harvest of the kingdom. Here at Hebrew Roots University, we are dedicated to our mission to teach the true gospel of the kingdom, the gospel Yeshua taught, to people of all nations, and to eradicate biblical illiteracy worldwide. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey, so check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Don't wait. Take advantage of our new Laborers Grant, so apply now. HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a two-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Well, shalom, shalom, saints, and welcome to our Thursday's Searching the Scriptures. Tonight, we are in Deuteronomy chapter 33. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 29. And the topic we're going to be discussing is the blessings of the 11 tribes. At the end of our teaching today, you're going to be given an opportunity to give, to ask questions, and to receive prayer. Now, some things are going to be said here this evening that may be a head scratcher for some of you. And this is why I truly encourage you, even the title itself, I encourage you to take good notes. If you have questions, which I suspect some of you will, please write them down. And at the end of our teaching today, you will be given an opportunity to ask those questions and hopefully get sufficient answers. Now, I have to remind people from time to time that this is a training center. And therefore, because of the
training center aspect. We teach in a way to really encourage you to stimulate your thinking, your thought process, and to encourage and inspire you to search deeper or to search more in the Word of the Almighty versus handing everything to you on a platter. So we're going to exercise our thinking, our mind, our brain, incorporate the mind of Messiah with the help of the Holy Spirit. So for questions, please don't hesitate to ask those questions when the opportunity arises. Our mission statement is restoring the Hebrew roots to the Christian and Jewish faiths. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be here together in your presence, and we welcome your presence in the midst of us. We pray, Father, that you will move mightily among us, not only in this place, but in the spaces and places where people are gathered together around their screen, wherever they may be. We pray for your anointing, your yoke destroying anointing that will destroy every yoke of bondage, every yoke of unbelief, every yoke of error. And Father, that you will give us the presence of mind, the insightfulness by your Spirit. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Give us the ability to comprehend the things that you reveal to us, the things that you speak to us and show us, and then show us how to incorporate these things in our daily lives. We decree no weapons formed against us shall prosper, and that your perfect will be accomplished in the midst of us today. We bind every work of the enemy in Yeshua's name, and we say, have your way among us. Amen. So today we're dealing again with the blessings of the 11 tribes. The last act of Moses before his death was pronouncing blessings upon 11 of the 12 tribes of Israel. After spending the last 40 years of his life with the children of Israel in the wilderness, Moses had up close and personal encounters with the various tribes, with the tribal leaders, individual families amongst the tribes. Moses instructed them per Jehovah's words, judged between them, settled disputes amongst them, and led them through treacherous and difficult times. Moses witnessed the ground, or the good, the bad, and ugly sides of the children of Israel, from the oldest to the youngest, and from Egypt to the threshold of the promised land. And so today, we're going to be looking at Moses' final words to Israel, and we're going to see how Moses spoke and encouraged them in the end of this chapter. Now, what should be noticeable in this passage, for those of you who have read it or studied it, is that 13 tribes are mentioned in this passage. Two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, whom Jacob named as his own sons, are incorporated in the tribe of Joseph. Now, something that you have to keep in mind, because people get the idea that there were 12 tribes as it relates to Israel, and what they refuse to see or forget sometimes is that Joseph or Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, had 12 sons by four different women. But then he took Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and made them his sons. So with the addition of his own 12 tribes that came from, or 12 sons that came from his loins, he took two additional tribes that came from Joseph's loins, and that was a total of 14 tribes. In this particular passage, 13 of those tribes will be mentioned. However, two of them will be incorporated in the tribe of Joseph, and that is how we get the title 11 tribes where Moses blessed. Simeon is not mentioned at all and therefore does not receive a blessing from Moses. And so I sent out these overviews of the teachings that we're going to be looking at. Some of you received them. If you haven't registered on our website, you will not be receiving them. If you choose to register on the watch page of our website, all you have to do is subscribe, and you'll be getting these emails. And each week when we send out the teaching titles and the information on the teaching, you'll receive this. And what this is done, the reason we do this is to give you an opportunity to read ahead. And so when you read ahead on the lessons that we're going to be going through, then you will be in a better position, and maybe you will have questions from your own reading, but what it should do is help you as we navigate these verse-by-verse studies. Furthermore, the first five verses seems to have been written by someone else other than Moses, for those verses speak of Moses in like a third person. And so it's important for me, and I encourage you as well, that when you approach the Bible, that you don't approach it from a religious mindset, but approach it from the position that you're going to learn, you're going to investigate, you're going to search. And I try to clear my mind of all of the preconceived information or ideology that I have, doctrine that I have, and each time try to approach the word from a fresh perspective, because with that, I don't eisegete or read the information I already have in my head into the passage. I exegete, which means that I see what's there and I try to pull it out, and then I examine it in comparison to the things that I already know. And so this causes me to ask questions that says, okay, why is this like this? I remember reading this somewhere else and it said this, but here it says something else. And so then it gives me the mindset to dig and to investigate. And that's how I come up with much of what I present to you once I've searched it out for myself. And so Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel, Jacob, before his death. Now notice I have a slash between Israel and Jacob, because Israel and Jacob is used interchangeably. And then there's another word that we saw last week that is called Jeshurun, which is another name for Jacob or for Israel, depending on the context. Now, Moses blesses the children of Israel, Jacob, in this chapter. In chapter 49 of Genesis, Jacob, Israel, prophesied over his sons. And then you're going to see that he also blessed two of the sons that he adopted from Joseph. Jacob, Israel, had 12 sons by four different women. Each of the four women gave Jacob a firstborn son. So Jacob, Israel, had four firstborn sons. And you can see them in the first is Reuben. Reuben was the firstborn son of Leah. And then Joseph was the firstborn son of Rachel. And I need to speak a little bit about this just for a moment, because Rachel is the only woman Jacob wanted. When he made a deal with his father-in-law or his future father-in-law, Laban, it was for Rachel. However, because of customs and tradition, Jacob ended up with four wives instead of the one that he pursued. Now, Dan was the firstborn of Rachel's maidservant Bilhar, and then Gad was the firstborn of Leah's maidservant Zilpah. So from this, you'll see Joseph or Jacob had four firstborn sons. In Genesis chapter 35, verse 23, we see that the sons of Leah, Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, and then there's Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. So all of these sons came from Leah. Verse 24 tells us the sons of Rachel, and I say his favorite wife and the only wife he wanted, was Joseph and Benjamin. Now, because of Reuben defiling his father's bed, Joseph, by default, received the birthright of the firstborn. In verse 3 of Genesis 49, it says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn. And this is the blessing or it's the prophetic word that Jacob on his deathbed speaks over his sons. In verse 3, it's Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power, unstable as water. And then he says, you shall not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Now, if you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 5, it shows us that now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph. Now, when you go back and you see Genesis chapter 35, verse 23. Now, notice what 1 Chronicles 5 says. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph. So where was Judah as far as the line of sons? Where was he in line? Well, notice verse 23 of Genesis 35 says Reuben was the firstborn. And then there was Simeon and Levi. They were both before Judah. However, Judah ends up with prevailing over his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler. But again, the birthright was Joseph's. Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. And he said, Jehovah came from Sinai and rose up from Seir. Unto them he shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints from his right hand when a fiery law for them. And so here, Moses is recounting what the Almighty did, how he received the instructions, the law for his saints, the children of Israel. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Notice here in verse 4, and this is how Moses is spoken of in the third person. Moses commanded us a law. Moses commanded us a law. And so whoever this is writing about what Moses commanded, and it was us he commanded it to, indicating this was not Moses writing this. Even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Now here in verse 5, it seems to be talking about Jehovah who was king, but it's certainly not speaking of Jacob. Jacob was never a king, even though he was the head of the people. And so it wasn't speaking of Moses. Moses was never considered a king. And from this verse, I almost titled this teaching, The Israel That Never Was. The Israel That Never Was. Because as we proceed on, we're going to see that Father did not want Israel to have a king. Why? Because he was his king. But they demanded a king in their future after this point, and therefore rejected Jehovah as king. And because Jehovah was never king of Israel or rejected by the children of Israel as king, they never were able to accomplish all that the Almighty had predestined them to accomplish. They were never able to occupy the entire land from the Nile all the way to the Euphrates. This is the land that he had shown Abraham. This is the land that he had promised the children of Israel. They ended up with a slither of land. They continued to have battles between those that they didn't cast out of the land. And they ended up going into exile and having to return to the land. And each time it was because of their own rebellion and their own disobedience. Jehovah desired to be their king, but the people rejected him as king and wanted a man to rule over them. This word Jeshurun, also found one time in Isaiah, meaning upright one, is the symbolic name for Israel, describing her ideal character. But it's also when the ideal situation that it seems as if Jehovah had with the children of Israel was with Jacob. Israel's character, from time to time, it certainly was never in the position to where one would say it's ideal. The blessing of Reuben, verse 6. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. Now remember, Reuben was the one who defiled his father's bed, and therefore he lost his birthright. And now Moses is speaking a blessing. Let Reuben live and not die. Let not his men be few. Next comes the blessing of Judah, verse 7. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Jehovah, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. Now here's where things get a little interesting. The blessings of Levi. And Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with the Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. Now the Thummim and Urim were with the priests who were Levites. And this is where we have to constantly emphasize that the Levites were not required or responsible for teaching the children of Israel. It was the priests who were Levites. The priestly line came from Aaron, who was a Levite, and his sons and his lineage would become the priests, but the Levites were the servants of the priests, not responsible for teaching the people of Israel. And there are so many messianics and Hebrew rooters out there who will swear that it's the responsibility of the Levites to teach the children of Israel, when there is nowhere in the Bible that it says the Levites are responsible. And what it look like it's saying is that the Levites are responsible, but when we know that it was the priest's responsibility, we can make a separation in those places where it seems as if the Bible may be unclear. The Thummim was a stone provided for the means of achieving a sacred lot when they were cast, used with the Urim, the will of God was revealed. And that word means perfection. The Urim is lights, stones kept in a pouch. And if you remember when Moses developed the breastplate, that there was a pouch inside the breastplate. And this is what the high priest wore and was used in determining God's decision in certain questions and issues. Now, what's really interesting here is that when Moses wanted to know Father's will, he went and he spoke to him. Father spoke to Moses face to face. Father gave Moses his spirit. Father took the spirit off of Moses and put on the 70 elders. And because of that, they prophesied. They had the ability to hear from the Almighty, from his mouth, from his voice, and speak. And whenever Moses had a challenge and didn't know what to do in a particular situation, he didn't call the priest and cast lots. He went straight to the Almighty, and the Almighty told him what to do. Verse 9, Deuteronomy 33. Who said unto his father and to his mother, this is Levi, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. Now, if you remember back when Moses was in the mountain receiving the commandments, that the children of Israel went whoring. They had Aaron take the gold that they had brought out of Egypt and cast into fire and made a idol. They made several items, but we're mostly familiar with the golden calf. When Moses came down from that mountain, he was very angry. He threw down the stone tablets. He grind them up, made the children of Israel drink them. And he had a real issue with what he had observed. And his first thing was he turned to Aaron. Aaron said, these individuals made me do what I did. So the Levites now were, they slaughtered all those, and that include family members who had worshiped the idols made by Aaron when Moses was in the mount receiving the Torah. And you find this story in Exodus 32, verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on Jehovah's side? Let him come unto me. And notice, all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus said Jehovah, God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to Jehovah, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And so the Levites slaughtered those who worshiped the idols. Now, it doesn't tell us their names. It doesn't tell us their tribes, but based on the language of the passage, it indicates that there were some who were Levites who may have very well bowed down and was reveling with the rest of the children of Israel during that golden calf scenario. The work of the priests were Levites and were responsible for teaching Israel the law. Verse 10, Levi, they shall teach Jacob thy judgment. Now, in this particular verse, verse 10, which comes in the context of speaking to the Levites or speaking to blessing Levi, one would say, well, see, there it says, Levi, they shall teach Jacob thy judgment and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Now, anybody who know the instruction for the incense, the altar of incense, and for putting anything on the altar of Jehovah, they know that that was the priest's responsibility, not the Levites. Now, the priests were Levites, so sometimes it refers to the priests as Levites, but its distinction is in the context of the statement, they shall teach Jacob thy judgment. Now, here's the instruction, Leviticus 10:8. And Jehovah spoke unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or, nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. Now, they could drink, but when they were on duty, when they had to go into the tabernacle, it better not be any alcohol on their breath. Because when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation and you've been drinking, you will die. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generation. And that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Jehovah has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. So whose responsibility was it to teach the children of Israel? Aaron, which was the high priest, and his sons who would become high priest after his death. Verse 11, Deuteronomy 33. Bless Jehovah, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. Now here, in the close of that, I wanted to point something out. When Jacob blessed or prophesied over Levi and Simeon in Genesis chapter 49, he spoke to them collectively. In verse number 49, verse 5, this is what he said. Now, he spoke to Reuben singularly. He spoke to the other brothers singularly. But when it came down to Simeon and Levi, this is what he said collectively. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Now, if you remember this situation, what you'll find is that when they came into, I think it was Shechem, there was a king, and the king had a son. And because this king's son was in relationship with their sister, Levi and Simeon got angry. And what they did, they said, if you want to have a relationship with our sister, what do you got to do? You got to become circumcised. And when the whole kingdom, the men of the kingdom circumcised themselves while they were recovering from the circumcision, Simeon and Levi went in and slaughtered them. It angered Jacob to the point to where now it was dishonorable, and he ended up having to move his family, and he never recovered mentally and spiritually from that. And in the point to where now he's on his deathbed, he's speaking over Simeon and Levi based on this incident. He says, O my soul, come not thou into their secret. In other words, they plotted and did what they did in secret unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. In other words, what they did was dishonorable, and Jacob wanted nothing to do with it. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now, at the Golden Calf event, Levi had the opportunity to demonstrate that it was focused on the word of Jehovah, and as a result, to some degree, redeemed themselves, it appears. Because Levi is mentioned in the blessing, Simeon is not. Moses does not bless Simeon, but he does bless Levi. He blesses Aaron. They have a role. And then, based on what Jacob said, Israel or Levi and Simeon will be scattered in Israel. So when the children of Israel eventually take the land and the tribes are given tribal land, Levi does not receive any land that is called the tribe of Levi. They are incorporated in the other tribes and given plots of land in the other tribal land. Now, what's interesting here is that Simeon is also incorporated in the southern tribe of Judah. If you look at the red semi-oblong looking circle at the bottom of the page, you'll see Simeon. Above that, you'll see Judah. So where is Simeon located on the map? Simeon's land is in the land of Judah. Notice this. Simeon's land is in the land of Judah. It's surrounded by Judah, and it's the only tribe of Israel that is in another tribe's land. Now, this creates another conundrum, some people. How many of you have ever heard of the southern tribe and the northern tribe, or the two tribes, the southern and the northern? And then how many of you have ever heard the language of the lost tribes? Because, see, when you start putting all this stuff together and you look at, if Simeon is in the land of Judah, then would Simeon be a southern tribe, not a northern tribe? So if Simeon is a southern tribe, that would only leave 9 northern tribes. The language that people use sometimes, because this is one of the reasons why I tell people, you know, when you go through discipleship, it's important that you have a Bible map. It's important that you know geography as well as knowing the information that is in the Torah, because once you understand geography and you understand the tribal land and where things were located, and Father was very specific about the land that was allocated to the tribes, even down to the point of who could marry who and how the land could not be incorporated into other lands by marriage. So when it came down to the captivity, and especially the Babylonian captivity, when they took Judah or they took the southern tribes, then that would seemingly, geographically, according to the map, include Simeon. What you will note also is that Levi does not receive tribal land. Now, you can look at all of this land, and you can see East Manasseh, Naphtali, Asher, Zebulun, Issachar, Manasseh, West, Gad, Ephraim, Benjamin, Dan, Reuben, Judah, and Simeon. What you don't see on this map is a tribe of Joseph. What you also don't see on this map is a tribe of Levi. So there you see 12 tribes on the map minus Levi, the 13th tribe, and what would be Joseph, the actual son of Jacob, which would be a 14th tribe. However, the birthright was given to Joseph, and therefore his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, inherited tribal land, and this is where you have 12 tribes out of 14 minus Joseph and Levi, that actually have tribal land in the land of Israel. So as I noted, Simeon is incorporated into Judah. Simeon is also not mentioned in Moses' blessing. So Moses is blessing all of these tribes with the exception of Simeon, and it doesn't tell us why. We don't know why. All we know is that Simeon is missing from the blessing. Simeon was part of the southern tribe incorporated into the land of Judah, the blessings of Benjamin. Verse 12, and of Benjamin he said, the beloved of Jehovah shall dwell in safety by him, and Jehovah shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And then Moses blesses Joseph, but his blessings is inclusive of Ephraim and Manasseh, indicating that Ephraim and Manasseh was blessed through Joseph's blessing, not their own individual blessing, even though they receive honorable mentions. Verse number 13, Deuteronomy 33. And of Joseph, he said, blessed of Jehovah be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath. The land of Joseph was Samaria. Now, if you look at this map, you'll see that East Manasseh is on the other side of the Jordan. But if you look at Manasseh and Ephraim, which is on this side of the Jordan, and if you were to break down the land during the time of Messiah, where you have the Galilee, Samaria, and the land of Judah, or Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, you'll see that Manasseh and Ephraim occupied the land of Joseph that was given to Joseph, or that Joseph actually, no, Jacob, sorry about that. Jacob purchased the land, and Joseph's sons inherited the land. And here's where we see it. In John chapter 4, jumping into the New Testament for a moment, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Yeshua made and baptized more disciples than John, though Yeshua himself baptized not, but his disciples baptized, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. Now, in the Hebrew, it would be called Shechem. That C should not be there. Shechem, S-H-E-C-H-E-M. Near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son, Joseph. And so here we see in John chapter 4, Joseph received land from Jacob called Shechem or Sychar. In Genesis 33:18, we see that Jacob came to Shechem, a city of Shechem. In the Greek, that's the Sychar that is mentioned in John chapter 4, which is in the land of Canaan. When he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the city, and he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. So, back to John. Now Jacob's well was there. Yeshua, therefore, being wearied from his journey with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yeshua saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Yeshua answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drink thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And so we see that Samaria in the New Testament was the Shechem in the Old Testament, where Jacob settled, and that land was inherited by his sons Ephraim and Manasseh after they crossed over the Jordan, and Manasseh took some land on the nether part of the Jordan before crossing over. Back to Deuteronomy 33, verse 14. And for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, still talking about this land, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And so we see that they get an honorable mention as the sons of Joseph. Although the blessing goes to Joseph, the blessings that Moses is pronouncing on Joseph, he is pronouncing on Ephraim and Manasseh, except the text says that it's the blessing pronounced over Joseph. Ephraim and Manasseh's blessings were incorporated in Joseph. Jacob Israel took Joseph's sons as his own sons and blessed both of them and spoke prophetically over them in Genesis 48. And so what I'm doing here is I'm going back and forth between Moses' blessing and Jacob's prophesying over his sons, but he also blesses his sons that he adopted, Ephraim and Manasseh. And it's important for us because Moses now, as he's pronouncing this blessing, remember Moses is the one who wrote Genesis. As Jehovah is giving him instructions and showing him what has been done before he was actually born, Jehovah revealed to Moses what took place prior to his birth, even from the beginning of creation all the way up to the children of Israel, including Jacob and his children, went into Egypt, not as slaves, because Joseph was the viceroy of Egypt. The children of Israel went up. They were given land in Egypt, and based on the description of the land of Joseph, that land in the land of Canaan seemed to be the most fertile land in the promised land. This land was given to Ephraim and Manasseh, and what was in the time of Messiah, the city of Samaria, or the land of Samaria, that was in the dead center of the southern part and the northern part of Israel. So, back to Genesis chapter 48, we see where in verse 3, Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and he blessed me and said unto me. So he's speaking to Joseph what the Almighty spoke to him in the land of Luz. Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to your seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto you in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. So here, Jacob laid claim to Joseph's sons. He said, they're mine. And then notice what he says, as Reuben and Simeon are mine. So he's saying that these boys are mine as if they came from my own loins, even though they came from your loins. And then he continues to speak, and he says, thy issue, and if you look up that word, it's reference to your offspring, which thou begat after them. In other words, these two boys are mine, and whoever you have after them, they shall be yours. They shall be yours, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. But Ephraim and Manasseh, they're not yours, Joseph, they're mine. And when Joseph saw that his father laid, verse 17, his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put your hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. Now some believe that this is speaking of Ephraim's posterity, but others say that it's when the northern tribe and the southern tribe split, that the house of Israel was led by Ephraim, not Manasseh. And so all of the tribes that were in the northern part of Israel that split from the southern part of Israel that brought forth the two house of Israel and the house of Judah that Ephraim was leading, and therefore all of those nations now were under Ephraim. Verse 20. And he blessed them that day, saying, and now notice, Jacob blesses Ephraim and Manasseh. And those of you who remember when we were going through this particular portion of Genesis, the blessings that the children of Israel speak over their sons every Sabbath, those who are part of Judaism in this tradition, this is the blessing. He blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Now, why this is significant is in the sense that Ephraim and Manasseh's mother was an Egyptian, Asenath. Joseph was given her as a wife by Pharaoh when he elevated Pharaoh to Joseph to viceroy. So Ephraim and Manasseh are the sons of an Egyptian woman, although Joseph is their father. And now, to this day, Ephraim or Israel lay his hands on their sons and declare, may Jehovah make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. So he set the younger over the older after he had taken both of them and claim them as his own. The blessing of Zebulun and Issachar. Here, Moses seems to incorporate the both of them. And of Zebulun, he says, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. So bless you as you go out. Bless Issachar in your tents. And they shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. So these will be coastal people. And again, you know, if we were to go back to the map, and those of you who request this PowerPoint, you will be able to get these slides. And if you notice, Issachar and Zebulun is not on the coast. Asher's on the coast, but they're closer to the coast. And the Issachar abuts up to the Jordan River as it pours into the Sea of Galilee. And so it's important. Now we have these maps in our bookstore, and you can get the book of maps in our bookstore, and you'll have a lot of commentary along with the map that is there. I do believe that I may have pulled this map from a different source, not from those particular maps that are in the bookstore, but there are similar maps, if not this map, if I'm not mistaken. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 33. The blessing of Gad, verse 20. And of Gad, he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad, that dwelleth, he dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there, in a portion of the lawgiver, was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of Jehovah and his judgments with Israel. And then there's the blessing of Dan. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. The blessing of Naphtali. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of Jehovah, possess thou the west and the south. The blessing of Asher. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, let him dip his foot in oil, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now, after Moses blesses the 11 tribes, and remember, Ephraim and Manasseh was incorporated in the tribe of Joseph, that he turns now and began to speak of Jehovah. Now, Moses knows that his time to die has come. And so this is his final words to the children of Israel before he climbs the mountain, and where Father buries him. He never returns from the mountain. His sepulcher, his grave, no one knows where it is to this day, regardless to what somebody may claim, that they may have found what may be Moses' grave. It was buried, and nobody has supposedly found it. So Moses now, after blessing them, encourage Israel and remind them that Jehovah will thrust out their enemies from the land so that they may dwell in safety in the land of promise. And that's the final verses of Deuteronomy chapter 33, starting with verse 26. Moses began to usher praise up to Jehovah as he's blessing the children of Israel. And remember, Moses has been instructed that these individuals are going to rebel. They're going to turn, and they're going to end up going into captivity. But in the, even with that knowledge and with that information, he continues to encourage Israel to behave, to allow the Almighty to lead them and to guide them and to provide them with peace, and that they should submit to his ways, to his laws, to his statutes, his ordinances, his commandments, so that they will live at peace, surrounded by their enemies, but their enemies will be afraid of them. And these are the final words that he speaks to them. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. And so, again, he's referring to the God of Jacob and the God of Israel. And this is why sometimes when I pray, you know, people say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, because Jeshurun is the actual preferred name, if you would. And again, remember what the word means, the upright one. It is the symbolic name of Israel, describing her in her ideal character. However, we know, as I said earlier, Israel went back and forth in that as far as its character is concerned. And so here again, he says, there's none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. And what this is supposed to what it says to me, I suspect it should have said to the children of Israel. And this is where I believe some of the theologians may get this theological term that Jehovah is omnipotent and omniscient. Omnipotent, omniscient, and even the omnipresent. In other words, he's everywhere. He's riding upon the heaven. He's there to help them. And in his excellency on the sky, you can look and you can't see him, but he's there. And he is the one there is none like. There is none like unto God of Jeshurun. Now, Israel, if they hear this, when they see an idol, they should say, that idol is nothing. That idol is nothing. And regardless to what the people around them or the people in those particular communities or the people in those cities or nations, regardless to the homage they pay to those idols, they should know that those idols are nothing. They're just, the people are talking about the power of their gods, but their gods have not produced any power like Jehovah has demonstrated his power over and over and over and over to the children of Israel. And last week, as we were going through chapter 32, it's like, listen, if you ever get a lapse in judgment or forgetfulness or you get amnesia, ask somebody. Ask your fathers about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Ask the elders about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And Moses is reminding them, the eternal God is your refuge. Eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is who he is, and he will always be who he is. Don't forget. And underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. In other words, Father is going to go before you. He's going to lead you into the promised land. He's going to thrust them out, and you're going to destroy them. Remember who he is. Don't ever forget, because that God is our God. He is the one that we call to. He's the one that we cry out to. He's the one that we depend on. He's the one that provides for us. He's the one that protects us. He is the one who fights for us. Just as he fought for them then, he's the same God today. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. Now understand, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, fighting, looting, being chastised and disciplined, being provided for, fed. Remember, those days are behind you now. All the turmoil, all of the wandering, you're about to enter into your own land, and in that land, you're going to find rest. This is what we were talking about in Hebrews, and we'll be dealing with a little bit more of that rest issue in the next teaching on Hebrews, which is dealing with how to enter into salvation rest this coming Sabbath. But what I wanted to focus on here is that this God that Moses is reminding them of is the one who brought them out of Egypt into the wilderness, watched over them, fought for them, and now he's going to take them into the land where they will have rest under his protection. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. This speaks to the abundance. The in other places, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is a land of corn and wine, inclusive of milk and honey. And basically what he's doing is that everything you need, you won't have to export anything. In fact, you'll have so much that you may even You won't have to import anything in the land because everything you need is going to be provided for. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also, his heavens shall drop down dew. Father is going to look out for you. Father is going to provide for you. Father is going to destroy your enemies. Father is going to give you rest. Father is going to allow you to dwell in safety. So be happy, Israel, because you are. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by Jehovah, the shield of thy help? And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And so Moses is saying to them, Israel, remember who you are. Be happy. Be happy, O Israel. There is no nation out there like you. Father has already said that obeying these commandments, that he's going to exalt you above all nations. O people saved, who saved them? Who delivered them? Who saved you and I? Who's delivering you and I? Who's providing for us? The same Elohim that provided for them. And so regardless to what we may be experiencing or whatever we may be going through, we can be happy because we know things could be a whole lot worse than they are, and that Jehovah is in control, and all we have to do is submit to his will. And therefore, he is our help. He is our shield. He is our sword. He fights for us. He protects us. He keeps us. And anybody who say anything different is going to be found to be liars. And not only is he going to deliver us and provide for us and protect us, but we're going to go in and take the land that is there, the land that he's promised, and we're going to tear down their high places, tread upon their high places, cast out all their idols, and displace the people as we take possession of that which the Almighty has given us to take possession of. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much for this time tonight in this study. And as we have come to the conclusion of this chapter, we pray your continual blessing upon us. Continue to give us insight, give us wisdom, give us knowledge, give us understanding, give us all that we need that we may walk the fullness of the blessings that you have promised. Again, be glorified in us in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. So, as we come to the conclusion of chapter 33, we got one more short chapter to go. And Father willing, we will conclude Deuteronomy next week. And then we'll move into the introduction of the book of Joshua, if Father is willing. Amen. At this particular time, we're going to give you an opportunity to give, as we said we would. And then we're going to move into Q&A. Those of you who are joining us online, if you desire to support our ministry, and we certainly encourage you to do so, we know that this ground is, as they say in the Christian church, good ground. This is fertile ground. And those of you who are part of us, you know that the word, the message that we bring forth in this place are encouraging, inspiring, correcting, and hopefully, you know, those who apply it, they'll see the blessings that the Almighty has promised to those who diligently hearken to keep his commandments. If you desire to support us, and we encourage you to do so, on our website, arthurbaileyministries.com, if you go to the donate section of the website, you'll see the best ways to give, tithe, offerings, and donations. The first five ways are fee-free. That's Zelle, Venmo, Cash App, Bill Pay, and you can send checks or money order to our P.O. Box 1182 in Fort Mill, South Carolina, 29716. Other ways that you can give, PayPal donation. You can wire funds to us through our bank. Just simply call us for the information. You can call your donation in during regular office hours. You can text to give. And those of you who live in Canada, you can use the Canadian donation link to give your tithe and offerings or your donations or your support, however you want to term it. And we certainly appreciate your support regardless to what method or manner you use to support us. Father, we just thank you for those who support this ministry. We pray none lack as a result of their giving. But to the contrary, that the windows of heaven be opened, the blessings of heaven manifest, the treasures of heaven be revealed, that you will lead, guide, and direct us to those blessings and all of the promises where our needs are met. We pray again, Father, that you not only bless us, but that you make us a blessing. Again, let none lack as a result of their giving. Cause blessings in abundance to overtake us, to overwhelm us, even as you show your goodness and your mercies toward us. Bless us in our giving. Bless us in our living. To your glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. With that said, we're going to give opportunity. If there are questions that you have, please, at this time, it's your turn. If you have questions, please share them with us. Comments, testimonies, statements of faith. Yes, ma'am.
We have a comment from Sharon. The golden calf was ground up and spread of water for the people to drink. It wasn't the tables of stone.
Thank you. I was speaking too fast. You're absolutely right. It was the golden calf. The tables of stone was broken. Moses had to hewn out two more pieces, go back up into the mountain, and the Almighty wrote on them as he did the first. So thank you. Amen. All right. Well, if there are no other questions or comments or prayers, then we're going to bring our time together here tonight to a close. But before I do that, just want to share a few announcements. There are new books on our website. If you go to the website, arthurbaileyministries.com, go to the marketplace, and on the marketplace link, you'll see books. If you go there, you'll see that we have now put several new books on our website, and these are some that are hardcover, if you desire hardcover, all paperback, some are hardcovers. So, on our website also, under the About section, under the Read section, if you scroll down, you'll see free ebooks. And the ebooks are on our website. Again, we'll be adding more in the not too distant future. But there are many there right now that you can take advantage of, and we encourage you to do so. In addition, on our website, if you go to the Feast link on the page, click the Feast on the menu bar, it'll bring you to this page, and we're looking to be celebrating the Biblical New Year, either sunset on March 30th or sunset on March 31st. You can register there on the Biblical New Year, and then Passover, first day and seventh day of unleavened bread, you can register on that page as well. So all of those, both of those are links that you can actually RSVP on. We have some confirmed workshops, and some of you, you may have received a email today if you have registered. In fact, let me just show you real quick. On the watch page of our website, if you go there, and we encourage all of you on there, if you would simply subscribe for announcements and inspiration and weekly updates. When we send out this valuable information, we sent out an email today, and that email had information on it that you'll certainly be relevant and pertinent to your feast observations. And we're going to send it out one more time. So make sure that you subscribe. If you haven't subscribed, please, on the watch page, simply subscribe for announcements. Then underneath there, you can download our app, and then you can watch our Roku channel on that. But if you download our app, you'll be notified when the new moon, the new year, and certain information concerning the feast, as well as you can contact us. I mean, the app is so much so helpful to so many people, and this app is free. There are confirmed workshops: Painting with the Saints, Canning and Food Preservation, Essentials of Torah. And again, a reminder that the third year tithe begins on the Biblical New Year, when the new year starts. And so we're looking at, again, everything starting sunset March 30th or 31st. Then we will update our website. And if you go to the feast page after the new moon has been revealed and the Biblical New Year, we're going to update our website. And down below, we're going to put the dates. There'll no longer be dates to be determined, but they will be actual dates that we will put there for these celebrations. Again, you want to check our website. Most importantly, you want to subscribe to our website, and then you'll be getting that information. We will send it to you. We don't send out junk mail. We don't sell people's information. We simply communicate what's going on in our ministry with you, those of you who desire to know. So please subscribe to the website, download the app, and you'll be kept in the loop. This Sabbath premiere tomorrow at 8 o'clock will be the message, the Messiah's Prayer. And then we will be gathered live here on Sabbath morning for How to Enter Salvation Rest. And we'll be in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. We certainly appreciate you all joining with us. If there's no more questions, prayer requests, then we're going to bring this teaching time to a close. Amen. We good? All right. Father, we just thank you again for our time together, and we pray your continual blessing upon us even as we depart from this place, that you'll watch over us, and we pray for safe passage. Watch over your people as you do so well, in Yeshua's name. Receive your blessing. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be glorious, be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you. Remember, we can't do what we do without you. Your prayers and your support is greatly needed and appreciated. And until Shabbat, Shalom, saints. Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.